We're changing up our format a little bit differently because typically on these baptism Sundays, and we are going to get to see a baptism later this morning, we'll do our sing set just before the baptism. And by the way, something that's kind of exciting this month, we have two baptism services this month. We'll have one this week, we'll have one the last Sunday of the month, and then we'll do our Lord's Supper then on the third Sunday, just a little change up in format this month. But exciting that we have people who want to follow the Lord in baptism. It's an exciting thing. Well, we are going through the book of John together. And as we did last week, I'd like to invite you to turn to John chapter 1. For our scripture reading this morning, we're going to read verses 1 through 18. It's the prologue or the introduction part of this book. And it's so foundational to what we see take place in the rest of the book, the Gospel of John. It's on page 71 of the New Testament. We're going to read again John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And so let's read that together this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those were his own, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, and he cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Father, as we have opened up to John chapter 1, there's so many great truths in this book. But Lord, especially as we focus on verses 6 through 8 today, I pray that you'll help us to really get a glimpse of this messenger who you've sent. I pray, Lord, that it'll be instructive to us, and I pray that we'll more completely understand even your purpose for us in our day. So, Father, we commit this time to you. May you be glorified in it, and may we be challenged. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with so many options today, of preachers that you can listen to, would you say that John the Baptist is one of your favorite preachers? I mean, I have to be honest with you. Up till this week, probably not for myself either. But why would we not maybe claim him readily as one of our favorite preachers? Well, maybe it's the fact that he wore camel hair garments and a leather belt. Maybe it's the fact that he ate locusts and wild honey. Maybe it's the fact that he was an outdoor preacher who baptized people in the river. Nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, maybe some of you have been baptized outdoor as well. But we just don't relate with that maybe as directly because we're going to see a baptismal service today in our baptistry. And for sure, as I think about John the Baptist as a preacher, you know how he addressed his crowds, right? "You brood of vipers." I don't know that I've ever opened up and said that, you know, to a congregation I was preaching to. Well, maybe there's some groups that would be appropriate, right? But these are things that maybe don't endear us as much to John the Baptist. Agreed? Yeah. But as I've studied this man this week, I've gained a much greater appreciation for him. And in fact, there are ways that I want to become more like John the Baptist. Although, don't be looking for any hair camel or camel hair shirts, or that I'd be eating locusts anytime soon that I'm aware of anyway. But there's much that I do appreciate about this man. We mentioned last week that the prologue, the first 18 verses of this chapter, really are an introduction to this book. And interestingly, there are two primary people that the prologue focuses on. And one is, of course, Jesus Christ himself. And he's going to be the focus of the book of John. But the other one, interestingly, that is included in the prologue is John the Baptist. So apparently a very important character as far as God is concerned, as he's had the Apostle John relate to us. Now, John was a charismatic man, and by that I don't mean that he did signs and miracles in his ministry. He didn't. In fact, he didn't do that. But he did have droves come out to see him, many Jewish people, and even the religious leaders came out to see him. They were quite intrigued and challenged, and some quite convicted by his ministry. Many rejected him, but many came out to see him. It's interesting that of all the details that were given in the book of John regarding John the Baptist, there are some details that are not mentioned in the Gospel of John, for instance. He's not really talks about him preaching for repentance in this book. He's not heralding God's kingdom in this book. It's not even recording his baptism, per se, in his book. It doesn't record in here the conflict that he has with the religious leaders. These things that we see in the synoptic Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we don't see in this Gospel of John. Why is that? It seems that John, the Apostle John, as he's conveying to us John the Baptist, he's really focusing on John the Baptist as a witness, as what he's going to communicate about Jesus. He's going to testify to Jesus and who he is. And that's really the focus that we get from the Apostle John as he's focusing on John the Baptist's ministry in this book and in these verses that we're going to consider today. It would seem that the Apostle John is communicating to us in this book that John the Baptist is the first and greatest witness to the person of Jesus Christ. So he's an important figure to get, an important man to understand. So the question I'd like to kind of open up with today and have us consider as we go throughout our time in these three verses that we're going to look at is, what does God expect of his messengers? What does God expect of his messengers? Let's talk about that for a few moments. First, let's consider the messenger. Let's consider the messenger. Look with me at verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Such a simple statement. There came, just a contrast. Remember last week we said in the beginning was the Word. Jesus has always existed. But here we're told that there came, the word Greek word for that means actually he came into existence. John the Baptist has not always existed, but there came a man, we're told. And by the way, God, when he conveys his messages, has chosen to do it primarily through people. Now, I know we have instances in the Bible where he used angels, or maybe God directly spoke to one of his prophets or gave them a message, but primarily, we see that God conveys his messages through people. And in this case, it's no different. There came a man, and it's also interesting to note at this point that last week we talked about the breadth of creation. In the beginning was the Word. He was involved with creation. Everything came into being through him. But now in this scene, in verses 6 through 8, we go from the broad expanse of creation to a man, a single man. There came a man sent from God. The word sent from God here has the idea of, it's a perfect passive verb, meaning that God dispatched this man. God sent this man. He sent him for a purpose. He sent him for a reason. We're talking about that here today. And his name, whose name was John. John the Baptist is one of seven Johns that we see mentioned in the New Testament. It's interesting, though, that even in the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Apostle John will not refer to himself as John. When he uses John in this book, he's referring to John the Baptist. It's a deference, if you will, to the person of John, which I find really quite interesting. And interestingly, the name John in Hebrew meant a gift from God. And truly, John the Baptist was a gift from God to the Jewish people, but to us as well. It's interesting that John the Baptist is referred to in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5, where even Isaiah talks about this one who's going to come and prepare the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist is going to end 400 years of silence. We talk about the intertestament period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, a 400-year period. John the Baptist comes on the scene and speaking at this point. In fact, it's interesting what Jesus said about John. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus says this. Matthew 11:11. Jesus is speaking, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." There's a prophet, John, who's coming on the scene. He's the last, if you will, of the Old Testament prophets. And he's coming in to herald in the Messiah and the church. What we're told is that Jesus is saying quite high testimony of him in Matthew 11:11. "There's not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist before him." He's the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And yet we're told that those who are in the church have a higher ranking than John the Baptist. So it's a pivotal time in history. One person has said this about John the Baptist. You have to understand that as we view John the Baptist today in our culture, in our setting, we think of him as different. That's a nice way to put it, right? You might have other names if you saw somebody doing what he did in our day. But a Bible commentator said this about John. In a warning to us all, "The freak that we see may be sent by God." Think about that in reference to people that may come into our life. There may be people who are testifying of Jesus that we may think a bit odd or a bit peculiar, but it may be the very person that God is bringing into our life to help us understand the truth about the light that he wants us to see. So may we be very careful. You know, in that day, you missed out if you rejected John because of how he looked. His externals didn't tell the whole story. There was a message, there was a heart this man had that deserved to be heard. And may we learn from that today as we think about the different messengers that maybe the Lord even places in our life. So first, we've considered the messenger in verse 6. Next, let's consider the mission of John the Baptist. We see in verse 7, "He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him." He came as a witness. In Greek, it has the root word that we recognize as martyr. It's a noun. It's courtroom terminology. Someone who comes to bear witness in a legal sense. He came as a witness to testify about the light. We know this is speaking about Jesus. Again, the word testify here, again, comes from a Greek word, which again has the word that we would recognize as martyr as the root word. But in this case, it's a verb that's being used. So this witness noun has come to testify to do the very thing that he was sent to do. And this is what John the Baptist is doing. He's going to come and he's going to testify about the light. He's going to testify about Jesus. And by the way, while John 1 is really talking, in these verses especially, talking about John the Baptist, giving the focus to him, the Apostle John himself is going to bear witness of Jesus in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I will go there. Let me read this to you, because this is the Apostle John's message years later as we think about John the Apostle. Listen to what he writes. "What was from the beginning," and here John's talking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, "what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life," that's Jesus, "and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which is with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so you may too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so our joy may be made complete." So John the Baptist, in the first part of John, is giving his testimony to the person of Christ. And later in 1 John, John the Apostle is giving his testimony about what he's seen, what he's heard. These men are key. They're telling us who Jesus is. And why did they come to testify about the light? Well, the last part of verse 7 says, so that all may believe through him. In order that the goal is that all might believe through him, they might come to rely on a person. They might come to entrust themselves completely upon the light. That's why John the Baptist came to testify. That's why he came to speak of him. And it says that they might believe through him as a means. John the Baptist might be a means of how they might come to hear about the light. Now, interestingly, in the book of John, there are different witnesses to the person of Christ. Let me just quickly go through these. Jesus himself witnessed of himself in John chapter 8, verse 42. The Father testifies about Jesus in John 8, 18. The Holy Spirit in John 16 testifies to Jesus. The Scriptures speak to him, we're told. Even Christ's works testify about Jesus as we look through the Scriptures. John the Baptist, the passage we're considering today, John is testifying to Jesus. The crowds in John 12:17 talk about, as Lazarus is raised from the dead, the crowds testify to what Jesus has done. So we see even crowds doing that. And then interestingly, ordinary men and women testify to who Jesus is. And by the way, you and I, ordinary men and women, aren't we? We are. Only you can give a firsthand testimony about Jesus, how Jesus Christ has changed your life. So don't divorce yourself from the ordinary men and women who testify about Jesus. You know, in pro sports, we have people who are signed up, they're roster players, they're signed up on a team, and they are agents of the owner to play a game, right? And then out there in the sports world, we have what we call free agents. You know, they're pro athletes, they play the game, but they're just not a part of a team right now. And so even though they may even be a professional, they can't engage themselves in the activity at hand because they're free of any team or obligation or loyalty. I would ask us, even as John the Baptist was an agent of God to testify about the light so that all could believe, put their trust in him, I would ask you this question this morning. What type of agent are we? Do we testify about Jesus, about the light to others that the Lord has brought us in, you know, our path, you know, into contact with? Well, we've talked about the messenger. We've talked about the message. Let's talk next, or the mission, I should say. Let's talk finally about the motivation or the motive of John the Baptist. Verse 8, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. He was not the light. This is a real point of emphasis here. We have to understand that while we would not claim to be God in our lives, no, we'd never claim to be God, we do things like this, which challenge his Godhood. We might desire him to be accountable to us by saying, God, I don't understand why you did this to me, and you need to answer me why you put me through this. Why have you afflicted me so much? I think about like Job in the book of Job. I'm going through that book now with a couple of brothers. And Job is in that process. He's calling to God. He wants God to be accountable to him. He wants, if you will, to take God to court. So he could argue, why are you putting me in this position? And sometimes we can tend to do that in our relationship with God too. We want him accountable to us, to answer to us. Or maybe we desire the praise that's really only worthy of God. Or maybe we want to just please ourselves. It's not about pleasing him. We would please ourselves. Or maybe we like putting ourselves forth at the expense of putting forth the Lord Jesus. You know, this word was needed even in the time of the early church. You might say, well, John the Baptist doesn't seem like he ever was hung up on himself. No, you don't see that in Scripture. But I do think that we see in the book of Acts, chapter 19, there were people who didn't have an accurate understanding of who Jesus was. If you will, there's some misinformed Baptists in Acts. Acts chapter 19. It happened while Paulus was at Corinth. Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is in Jesus. There were people in Jesus in the early church's day, in Acts 19, but they were focused on John the Baptist still. They were hung up on him. They thought that was the final word. And they had to be corrected. No, John the Baptist, I mean, he prepared people for Jesus. That's the message that we give. And so sometimes I think, whether it's in the early church days or even whether it's in our day, people really misplace who the focus should be on. Sometimes many people, instead of focusing on the light, they'll focus on the messenger. And that's the last word, if you will. Let's be really clear this morning. When you come, I want to make sure that you understand this before you leave today. So I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you understand very clearly that the Bible tells us that we've sinned, every single one of us? I mean, John addressed sin in his day, but we can't go, oh, they were bad people. And no, we're bad people today too. We were born into sin. Do you believe that? And do you believe that God sent his son, who's always existed, but he sent him to be a man? We recognize his birth in, you know, there at Bethlehem. Do you believe he was sent by God? That he lived a sinless life, and in the Gospels, of which we're in one now, his words and his ministry are given, his miracles? And do you believe that ultimately at the end of his life that he was put to death, and the reason he was put to death was to pay the price for sin? He was hung on a cross. The perfect one was crucified for those of us who are imperfect. He was buried, and the third day he rose again, showing he has victory over death. He would stay on the earth longer, a few weeks longer, then he descended to the Father where he is today. And one day the Bible tells he's going to come back. He's going to reign. Do you believe that? Do you understand that he came and he died to bear the price for sin? And have you received him as your Savior? I'm going to get very personal with this. Has he saved you? Do you realize he came and died for your sin? Have you received him as your Savior? If you haven't, now's a perfect time. Even in the silence of where you sit, call upon him to do that work for you. He has done the work, but will you receive that by faith and the grace that he provides for you today? If you have questions on it, talk to the one who invited you today, or talk to myself afterwards, or an elder, or someone you trust about what the gospel is, because we want to make sure that at the very least today, you've been introduced to the Savior, the light, Jesus, and you've been given a chance to believe on his name. That's the main reason. If you have come to know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage the rest of us to point to the light, testify to the light, reflect the light. We know that we don't have light in and of ourselves, but allow the light of God to fill our lives as we allow his Spirit to fill us and control us. And let the world look in and peek and see what he's doing in us. May we be a reflection of the light of God in our lives. Really, when we talk about testifying to the light, it's not about winning an argument. We're not trying to debate someone into the faith. We're really trying to win someone to a person. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to come and put their trust in him. Now we have to understand here that John was an agent of God, an agent of faith. God used him as an instrument. And the same thing's true of us. We're not the light, but he would use us as believers to be agents of his in helping introduce people to the light. So we're the agents, as was John the Baptist. Jesus is the object of faith. He's the light. He's the one we're seeking to have people put their trust and faith in. Let's be really clear. John the Baptist had a very clear picture of what his ministry was. And oh to God that we would have that clear picture as well. C.H. Dodd, who was at Cambridge in England, made the astute observation that in verses 6 through 8, the verses that we're covering today, that there's really an outline of what we're going to be seeing once we finish the prologue, verse 18, the rest of this chapter is going to contain. John the Baptist is going to show he's not the light in verses 19 through 28. In verses 29 to 34, we're going to see the John the Baptist pointing people to the light. And then the last part of the chapter, as we go from verse 35 to the end, We're going to see, as the light is being pointed to, there are men, there are people who are coming to faith in the light. So understanding this, the idea of being a messenger, of being an agent of His, of understanding that our task is to point people to Jesus, and as they put their faith in Him, we see that people will come to faith. God is using this. He used it in the time of Jesus. He'll use it in ours as well. He does use it in our time as well. May we understand that really clear. So, what can we learn? What can we learn from John the Baptist himself? You know, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they teach us a lot about Jesus' attitude, I should say about John the Baptist's attitudes about his words that John doesn't convey, but I think it's important to grasp these. In Matthew 3:2, Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist knew that he wasn't the king, but he was telling people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. The king is coming." And John knew it wasn't him. So he was preparing people for that. In Matthew 3:11-12, John speaks the superiority of Jesus' ministry. Again, John knew that he wasn't the final answer. He was just pointing people to the final answer. In Matthew 3:13-17, as Jesus came to John to be baptized, John recognized that he was the one who really needed to be baptized. He protested baptizing Jesus. That's his attitude. Even the Bible records the uncertainty in the uncertainty of John the Baptist in Matthew 11:2, where when John the Baptist conveyed to Jesus this message, "Are you the expected one? Or do we look for someone else?" There's a little uncertainty that we hear in the voice of John the Baptist, but he knew that there was an expected one. He knew that there was one that he was coming to prepare the way for. We know, of course, that those who were sent by John were able to see what he had done, and Jesus sent them back saying, "Go tell John what you've seen, and blessed is the one who doesn't stumble over me." But even in his uncertainty at that moment, we see that he's looking for that expected one. John knew that he wasn't the one who's the focus. He made this statement in Mark 1:7, "After me, one who is mightier is coming, and I'm not even fit to untie his sandals." John got it, who Jesus was. It's interesting in Luke 3:15-17, we're told that there was a state of expectation in that time of John the Baptist's ministry, and there are people who are asking, "Is John the Messiah?" You know what? If John did not understand his mission, if he did not have the right perspective, what a great time to corrupt it and said, "I'm the Messiah." But no, he understood his purpose. He understood why he was sent. Instead, what he said in that passage was, "He is mightier. The one coming after me is mightier than I." He got it. In summary, and this is good for us to understand and take to heart and apply to our own life, we see this about John the Baptist's ministry. John the Baptist recognized that he was a man, not the Messiah. He got the difference. John the Baptist realized that he was a witness and not the Word like we talked about last week. Jesus is the Word. We're simply witnesses to the Word. And finally, John the Baptist was a lamp. He was a little light pointing to the big light, Jesus. John got it in his attitude. We see that throughout the Gospels. John, the Apostle John, is showing that in a very concise form. But even the Synoptics show us that John the Baptist got what his role was in this world and in this life. So what is our sermon in a sentence today? It would be simply this. Tell others about Jesus the light so they may believe. Remember, Jesus is the light, not us. Let me repeat that. Tell others about Jesus the light so that they might believe. Remember, Jesus is the light, not us. That's such an important thing to grasp and understand. So I have a true or false question or statement. Let me just say, a true or false statement. All right? You got a 50% chance of getting it right, right? True or false? God doesn't want me to testify about Jesus the light. God doesn't want me to testify about Jesus' life. True or false? In your own mind, answer that. If you said true, you can tune me out the rest of the time. Because what I'm going to say isn't going to have any bearing to you. But if you can't bring yourself to say true to that God doesn't want us to share with others about the light, then consider these things this morning with me. You know, it's so easy for us to be self-absorbed in our lives. So easy. So self-absorbed that sometimes we don't even talk to other people. Or if we do talk to other people, it's certainly not about Jesus, it's about something or someone else. May God help us get out of our self-absorption. You know, one of the things that I have to pray from time to time myself is this. Because I can get busy too, and I can justify it. Lord, help me to see those opportunities to share Jesus, and then help me to seize them. Help me to see them, and help me to seize them. And I have to repeat that quite often. Maybe that would be a helpful prayer for you. You know, it's easy to get drawn to the sideline and not be active into the game. If you don't have a game plan of how do I even share Christ with someone? I don't know how to make that transition. I want to, but I don't know how to. If that's you this morning, we have some materials even here at the church that could be of great use for you. If you want to know, how can I share Christ? There's one I just put out, one of the materials we have, Share Jesus Without Fear. The reason I like that curriculum so much is because the focus is, it's conversational. So you're not lecturing the people you talk to, but you're really able to kind of guide the discussion with questions. If you'd like to go through that, let me know. I can loan you the materials. I'd be glad we could get a group together. If there are multiple ones who would like to do that, let's just go through it together. I'd be glad to. We want you to be equipped to share about the light. It's important that you have a genuine interest in people. Learn to ask questions. Ask about their family. Ask about what type of church involvement they've had. Ask about their job. Show interest in people. And understand this. Understand this really clearly. You may be feeling a little bit guilty right now, as I've been this week thinking about this. Don't ease your guilty conscience by going and inflicting somebody else's conscience, by getting them straightened out. Right? I feel bad because I haven't shared Christ, so I'm just going to dump on the first person I see out on the street. And the truth is you don't even love them or care for them, or you haven't even prayed for them. Be careful about the attitude that we approach people with. But maybe we have a love for people. I mean, they may for sure feel guilty as you're sharing the truth of God, but make sure that you're going out of a spirit of love, not just trying to get rid of your guilt by just like spewing on someone. Does that make sense? You have to be careful about that. Something you can even do this week for us. I mentioned earlier the baccalaureate service that's coming up at NJC campus. We have a chance to share with a number of people over there. We'll be sharing some Christian literature with them. We have a chance to share the gospel with them. Please pray that people come to Jesus. I am so aware of the fact that we can speak the words of truth, but God's Spirit must be involved in the heart of that person. It would be my prayer that God's Spirit would be working the hearts of the people as we share with them this week. And by the way, as we're sharing with people one-to-one, it's a great thing to even pray and ask God that we'll prepare them, prepare the person we're speaking with even before we do. Because we don't enter into this alone. Yeah, it can seem a bit scary, but there's nothing. There's nothing in this life that has brought me more joy than seeing someone come to faith in Jesus. It's the ultimate. And I think those of us who share Christ understand it, it's not because of us. It's because of God's word. It's because we have the attitude of John the Baptist. And we simply want to point people to the light. when people respond. It's awesome. Lord, we thank you today that you sent the light into the world. And if we've placed our faith in that light, we have life. And if we have that life, we have the opportunity, as John the Baptist did, to testify about Jesus so that others might have the life. Lord, in a few moments after we sing, we're going to get a chance to see a young lady be baptized because of her confession of faith in Jesus. And may we rejoice in that. But Lord, may the excitement and the joy that we share in this moment propel us to be as John the Baptist, those who are agents of yours to testify to the light. And we just pray this in Jesus' name.